Amen. Spirit is welcome in this place. We are blessed to have you here, but we're so much more blessed by his presence in this room. It has been a pleasure and a great joy to be able to speak these last few weeks. And you need to know that I'm usually okay Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, but I wake up on Saturday morning and I am sick in my stomach. And it's fear. It's fear. And it's the kind of fear that's not a bad kind. It's because I take this privilege so seriously. And I don't have any confidence in myself. I'm not a scholar. I'm not a doctor like David. I'm just Jerry. And God has shown me through the years an amazing amount of love, an amazing amount of grace. But he's also, not that he had to, but he's proven to me over and over again that he is faithful. When I am weak, he's strong. And I may be scared on Saturday, and you can ask my wife, it's the truth. Saturday night, I'm telling her, would you please do this service tomorrow? Because really, there's that much. In fact, I even told her last night, it'd be real good if God just took me home tonight and I didn't have to wake up in the morning. Because my human nature has fear. And I can do sales out there, and I was really, really good at it and good at distribution and all that kind of stuff. But doing this before you, knowing that speaking to you is a gift from God, and that Pastor David will allow me to do this is a gift to me. But then Sunday comes. And on Sunday morning, when I wake up, I got up this morning about 3:30. And when Sunday morning comes, there gets inside of me a confidence. And it isn't about me. And it's not an assumption. It's not an assumptive kind of confidence. It's not, but here's what I know. Here's what I know will happen. That in spite of me, not because of me, but in spite of me, if I'll just get up and do what he said to, the Spirit, his Spirit, will give me strength. And it's up to him. If I'm obedient to what he says to do, then it's up to him what he does with it. Not what I say to you, but what the Spirit says to you. So all of a sudden, you know what? The pressure is not on me anymore. The pressure is on God and the Holy Spirit, and they never fail. They never fail. And this particular topic on this particular Sunday kind of wraps up a series on when God says, and we talked about that first one, when God says, wait. God says, wait on me. And then there's the other where he says, go. What are we to do? We're to be obedient. Obedient to wait, obedient to go. And then when God says yes, we're to be obedient to do what he says to do. But you knew this one was going to come sooner or later. When God says no, or he seemed not to answer our prayers. Now, I'm not positive about this, but I'm pretty sure that probably the first words came out of my mouth might have been mama or dad, maybe. But I'll guarantee you, somewhere in the first three, this word would have come out of my mouth. No! we're born with it. We're born with no. We have to teach yes. We don't have to learn no. We can get no from the get-go. But the kind of no that I'm talking about that God will give from time to time is a little bit different. You know, no can be such a hard word. It can feel like you've just smashed up against steel. It can be like there's a brick wall, and all of a sudden you say, well, I've asked this God, I've asked it over and over again, and nothing's happening. And so you end up looking like a man with this kind of a head. You've just beat your head against the wall trying to figure out, God, what's up? Answer me. And then you end up looking at that wall, and you just got a big question mark. God, what's up? What's going on? And it just looks like it's blank. Everything's blank. What am I looking at? What, God, I've asked you for these things. And I've either heard no, which then makes me say what? When I get a no, I say what? Now what? Actually, that's not true. When I get a no, I go, why not? Because I'm just dead certain that I know what I need. And I'm usually not right about that. But that doesn't keep me from saying, why not? When he says no. The other thing is this. I know this has happened. You've asked God for something. You feel like it's something good, and you're waiting for an answer. And it seems like I'm not hearing anything at all. It's like there's a disconnect. My wireless network to heaven has shorted out, and I'm not getting through anymore. But the truth of the matter is this, and we've talked about this the last three Sundays. It's about obedience, yes, but it's also about what? Surrendering to what he asks us to do, and to surrender in hard places sometimes. So if you wouldn't mind, watch one more video, and then I'll be right back with you. You see, you can look like this young lady when it seems that the answer has indeed been no. It can be like this man. I mean, he's holding his head wondering, why, God, why? Why would you say no to something like that? And it can be as if all the life is drained from us. Or it could be just as this woman is crouching with her hand in her head going, but God, I've asked you, and the answer is no, or I haven't heard from you yet. One thing needs to be real clear, and this can be for me one of the hardest. And in this day and age, it can be really, really hard with all the things that are going on in the world that are just so absolutely wrong. And I'm not talking about a lion being killed. I'm talking about the horrible actions of an organization that are beyond description. It is a holocaust that is being ignored. And if you have been through one of those, please hear me say this. You have been forgiven. You do not to be re-forgiven But tomorrow, for example, there is to be a bill go up on some of this. Listen, folks, I've got to tell you this. I can't not say it. We must pray. But you know what else we got to do? God didn't give you the ability to make decisions to be able to read for no reason whatsoever. You need to go look up who your congressman is, who your representative is. You can go to .gov and you can go to look at the House. You need to be writing emails. All you've got to do is click and it automatically goes. But if the church keeps its mouth shut, then we are committing one of the greatest sins that has ever been committed in mankind's history. We cannot keep our mouth shut, folks. If the government tries to shut us down, that's not going to work. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we are going to be called on to make a stand. And the only strength you're going to be able to make that stand in is this: the power of the Holy Spirit on you, giving you the strength to stand for what is right. And we have to. We don't have an option. Don't you say nothing on Facebook. Don't you breathe a word on Facebook, Instagram, or anything else complaining about what's going on, and you don't vote. Shut up! I'm sick of reading it. And so is God, for that matter. We are to be obedient. We are to give the government the respect it deserves. Yes, we're to pay the taxes we're supposed to pay, as little as possible, but yeah, we're supposed to pay them. But more important than that, we are not to be spectators. We are to be participants in what's going on out there. Amen? That has nothing whatsoever to do with this message. It was a rabbit. You can tell Pastor Walker's heading back this way because his influence is already getting to me. Let me say this. It does not mean that he does not love us. He wants his best for us. It does not always feel that way, however. Many, many times in my life, there have been instances, and I've told this story before, but a lot of you maybe don't remember it. There was a time in my life when I lived in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and I was working for Haynes Corporation, director of communications and all this kind of stuff, and a young guy at 28. And I remember vividly standing in Rural Hall, North Carolina. We had a beautiful home on a hillside. And I had twin girls, and they were about maybe two at the time. And I remember standing in their bedroom one night, and my wife was heading out for another date. And I knew she was heading out for another date because she told me. And I stood there and I thought, I looked up and I looked at the sky. And we had about 40-foot pine trees around, but over the parking lot, the parking area, you could look up and you could see the sky. And it was a beautiful, clear night in North Carolina. And I looked at the stars and I said, God, why? Show me something that lets me know you're here. Show me something. And I'm looking at the sky full of stars and planets and beautiful, beautiful, clear sky. And I was looking for God and saying, where are you? And yet I was looking right at him. It didn't feel that way. It didn't feel that way when that first wife had the abortion that I found out about because a medical slip fell out on the floor outside of one of the hall bathrooms, and I looked at it and I said, what does this mean? And she said, oh, it was just a procedure I had done. I went and asked somebody and found out. I didn't leave her. She left us. I believed and prayed for God to heal, for God, please restore. God, please. I never cheated on her, and I wanted to so bad sometimes it hurt. Yet God kept me from it. He kept me unto him. And it wasn't my strength keeping me from going the other direction. But the answer ended up being no. But that wasn't because God was mad at me. See, my sin is my sin. It's not your sin. Your sin, isn't my sin. It's yours. You own that. But God never fails to come to and to come through any situation. And it ended up being that I've been married now for 19 years to one of the greatest gift being salvation, but the other one being Lida, my wife, for 19 years. You see, that was God when I wasn't even asking, as you know the story. I wasn't asking, and he was preparing my last wife. And so whatever has happened to you, wherever you've had a no, and it seems like you should have had a yes, and it seems like it's real, real obvious, why don't I have a yes to this? And it has come back a no. You need to understand this. God has a plan for you. He has a plan for your life, and he has not forsaken you, and he has not abandoned you. But sometimes we have to do what? In the first, wait. In his word, God encourages his children to pray to him and also to expect that he will answer him. Remember I told you about when I get up in the morning on Sunday, I expect the Spirit to have, because it's on the Spirit and on God to do what needs to be done, not me. I'm just to be obedient, to say what he's told me to say, what he's given me to say, and I'm not responsible for anything past right here. It's the Spirit that does the work out there. It's his promise that he'll answer. It's his word. James 1:5 says this, and how many times have we been in this place? If you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. That would be God. He loves to help. You'll get his help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. You see, here's the thing. Wisdom, how to know what to do next. It's a gift from God, and it's for you. He will give it to you. Why? Because he promises. What do we say about his word? His word is truth. He doesn't lie. He doesn't make mistakes. His word is truth. Where it says you'll get his help, it means it. But like where I was in that marriage, in that place where I was, and with two kids, and going to end up being a single parent of three for about 14 years on down the road, here's the thing. To request wisdom in the middle of a trial is exactly what God intends for his people. It's necessary to endure to build our faith. You see, walking that journey out, God was smart enough to do a lot of things. That's a stupid statement. But God did one thing that I sincerely appreciate. And I don't think I ever asked the question, so I'm really glad I didn't ask the question either. I never asked God when I ended up being a single parent, and that was all done. I didn't divorce my wife, by the way. My wife left us and left me with the kids. No child support. No, I didn't want it. But God worked that out for me to have my children. And Mark was about 2 years old at the time. Twins were 7, going on 8. But here's the thing. I didn't ask this question when that journey began. How long is this going to go on, God? I'm sure I didn't ask that question. But I am more than sure that if he had told me 14 years, I'd have dropped dead on the spot. Because I'd have said, single father and I travel full time. How's that going to work? And you know what God did, guys? I mean, tell you what he did. And ladies, it ended up that the company I was working for, I just happened to be fairly decent at what I did. And the company I was working for knew that I was being a single dad. And they basically said this, look, as long as you can sell and keep the distributors happy and make us a whole bunch of money, we don't really care what you do. Now, I couldn't believe it, but you know what? I didn't know how I was going to do it, but you know what? I saw my kids off to school every morning. If I was gone, it was very, very rare, and my parents were able to help out. But you know what? I became the top, and this doesn't mean anything, but I became one of the top division managers in the entire company, to the point that I was here volunteering when this church first began, and I was here volunteering so much that they would call here to find me if they were having a problem with a distributor. That's what God can do. When it seems impossible to you, all things are possible with Him. So no matter what circumstance you're finding yourself in right now, and you may say, I've been in church my whole life, I know all this stuff. I got news for you. As long as you're still alive, you're going to have some more stuff happen to you. So the good news is this. You may not understand it. I didn't get the answer I wanted, but God had a better plan. And He knew what I needed to walk through to get to this place that I can stand here right now and say this. God is faithful. God never lets us down. He never leaves us. He will never forsake us. And it's not because I say that. It's because His Word of God says that in Scripture. Amen? Jeremiah 33:3. I love this. Call to me and I will answer you. I'll tell you marvelous and wondrous things that you could never figure out on your own. Now, you know, when Jeremiah wrote this, he was kind of like in a courtyard deal. He was kind of in a minimum prison. You know, he wasn't exactly free to go and go as he wanted to. So he wasn't in the best of places. But here's what he said. Here's what God, call to me and I will answer you. I'll tell you marvelous and wonderful things you can never figure out on your own. So Jerusalem's under siege. Here's Jeremiah right here. And he's saying, I'm going to tell you some stuff that nobody else is going to know, and it's going to be wonderful. And that wonderful thing, marvelous thing, those are hidden things that is just for you. And you say, but shouldn't a pastor tell me that? Shouldn't a priest tell me that? Shouldn't a bishop tell me that? No. God says, I will tell you. I will tell you wonderful things that you could never figure out on your own. In other words, you're saying right now, some of you are saying this, there's no way, and I want to say to you, wrong. You say, I've tried that and it didn't work. Try something different. Well, I haven't heard God tell me what to do. Do the last thing He said do. You'll be fine. But He's going to tell you some things. And you know what? It is not up to God. It's up to you to listen and to receive it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you need to recognize your ears are not enough. Your brain is not enough to figure it out. Certainly isn't with me. And I highly doubt that it is with any of you because the Scripture says so. That the Spirit will speak to us. How does the Spirit speak to us? I know how He speaks to me, how He speaks to you is between you and the Spirit. But you know what? A lot of times I believe this one thing stands between us and listening to the Spirit, and I believe it's this. I believe it's pride. It's pride. And I used to say this. I used to say, and you know, men are the ones that have a problem with pride. Baloney. Women do too. Sorry, ladies. You do. We all got problems with pride because we all want to be right. And quite frankly, not the case most of the time. But the Spirit right now is speaking to some of you about something. I don't know what it is, but He's speaking to you right now about something. And you know what you're doing? You're shaking your head. You're not shaking your head, maybe. But you're basically on the inside saying, no, 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 that can't be. No, no, no. You're saying no to God. That ain't a smart thing to do. You see, here's the thing. God's no is not a rejection, but redirection. You see, sometimes the way God will do it is He'll just say this. You're walking along saying, I'm following, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And all of a sudden, God says, no, don't come here. Okay, He's not mad at you. That probably sounded mad. He's saying, no, don't come here. That sounds better. And He wants you to go this way. You remember that part about go. And when He says yes, go that way. And don't worry if you can't see around the curve. We get discouraged in prayer by thinking God has said no when in fact he said nothing at all. In other words, wait. Pray without what? Ceasing. Believing in what? Faith. That he will answer you. He will answer you. Reasons for a no or an unanswered prayer. This is where I'm going to get with. It's just, this is where it all starts. First reason, and I listed this one first, sin in our lives. But I thought I've been forgiven. Okay, yes, you have been forgiven. Yes, Jesus has forgiven you of your sins, and he will continue to forgive you of your sin. But if there is sin in your life, it's like putting a ceiling between you and God. Sin's not going to let you go. Sin's not going to let the prayers go. Here's what it says. This is out of Psalm 66:18 out of the NIV. If I had cherished sin, another way to say that in one translation said, if I ignored my sin, hello, in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. In other words, if I'd have ignored my sin and just pretended, God didn't know this, and so I'm not going to tell him. So, dear God, please do this. And God's going, do you really think I don't know your sin? No, he does. But in this scripture, it says, if I had, the Lord would not have listened. So what must he have done? Before he made the request, he confessed the sin. And you may say, well, I just don't know what sin I've committed. Think about it 3 seconds and you'll come up with something. Doesn't take me that long. I walk out the door today and do one because somebody will cut me off. But what the scripture says is this, if, and that's a giant if. We're going to come up to another if here in a minute. If I had cherished sin in my heart, ignored it, the Lord would not have listened. Let's look at 1 Samuel 8:18 out of the message. The day will come when you will cry in desperation, me standing at a window looking at the stars. Because of this king you so much want for yourselves, but don't expect God to answer. What that means is this. You've put other stuff out there, these little gods that you're looking to for your answers, and they're not coming from there. You see, I can be so crazy that I can be standing there looking at the heavens that God created and saying, God, give me a sign. And the sign I want you to do is send a shooting star across the horizon. I said that. You may think that's nuts, but that's how desperate I was. And he didn't send a shooting star, by the way. But I did walk away, and I walked out of the Hobby Lobby. I don't know what the name of it was, this wallpaper in the twins' room, and walked out, and they were both in their cribs, and walked out, and I started laughing when I got to the hallway. I said, you knucklehead, you're looking in the heavens, and you're saying, God, where are you? And in that instant, I could feel his presence giving me peace in the midst of a storm that I did not think I would survive in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Sin. Between you, the unconfessed, put it this way, it's a positive way. It's always a good idea when you start a prayer to say, dear Lord, forgive me for where I've sinned. Lord, forgive me for what. It's a good thing to do that. You see, it clears the deck. And then all of a sudden, those sins, those have been forgiven. And then the wireless network to heaven, it works great. Better than Time Warner, anybody. It works great. But you've got to get sin, and you've got to confess it. And if you don't, if you think you're so dadgum good that you don't need to, then you've just sinned. We all need to. For what? For all have come what? Short of the glory of God. Now, this next thing I'm going to read to you, it came out of one of these big books that's in my Logos Bible software thing, and I thought it was just kind of fascinating. It's this factoid, as they would call it. Out of 29 of the most prominent prayers in the Bible, over half, 17, of the no's to prayers were because of sin in that individual or that people as a whole. Sin will affect your prayer and the answer that God can and always will give. Lack of faith. Lack of faith. Boy, that's a big one. Let's read Matthew 17, 20. It says this. Because you're not yet taking God seriously, said Jesus, the simple truth is this. If you had the mere kernel of faith of a poppy seed, and the King James will say mustard seed, you can say, you would tell this mountain, move, and it would move. Now, would tell can also be said can say or could say to this mountain, move, and it would move. There's nothing you wouldn't be able to tackle. Or another way to say that, there's nothing you wouldn't be able to do. Now, 22 continues this way. Absolutely everything, ranging from small to large, as you make it a part of your what? Believing prayer. Prayer in faith. Believing prayer gets included as you lay hold of God. You see, the problem is we try to look at that and we can get real discouraged. I can anyway, maybe you don't. That I want my faith to grow and I want to be able to pray in faith believing for that. And quite frankly, there are some things that are very, very, I can pray in faith believing for because I've seen it myself. I've seen people get healed. I've seen things happen like that. And I can pray in faith believing for that. There are other things that I might be praying for that, quite frankly, I'm praying, but my faith isn't even amount to anything. And the description here is, you don't have to be walking around with a pious junk load of faith that's all fake. And I'm telling you, that's going on right now in front of thousands of people by people who are walking around saying, I have the faith for all of you. You don't need it. There is nowhere in Scripture it says that. You have faith that's already been put into you. But we've got to use that faith. And sometimes the way he does that is he does that through trials and tribulation. Mark 9:20, I want to read this. This is a story about Jesus, and he's been off by himself. He's come back down. There's a crowd, and the disciples are going nuts as usual. And so he comes down into this situation, and it says this. They brought him, and this boy is who they brought, this young man. Father brought him. When the demon saw Jesus, it threw the boy into a seizure, causing him to writhe on the ground and foam at the mouth. Now, this is that famous part where Jesus asked the guys, who did they say I am? This is a pretty serious moment in Jesus' life. Mark 9:21 says, he asked the boy, Father, how long has this been going on? Father says, ever since he was a little boy. Many times it pitches him into fire or the river to do away with him. If you can do anything, he's speaking to Jesus here. If you can do anything, do it. Have a heart and help us. And I'm telling you, if I got a response like this back from Jesus, I'd have run for the mountaintop. He said this. Jesus said, if there are no ifs among believers, anything can happen. No sooner were the words out of his mouth than the Father cried, then I believe, help me with my doubts. I would have said it this way. Help me with my doubts. I do believe, but help me. Jesus commands the demon out. The boy looks dead, and Jesus takes him by the hand and raises him up. But Jesus' response was, if, there's no if with Jesus. There's no if with God. It doesn't exist. I mean, his response, if there's no ifs among believers, anything can happen. What does anything can happen mean? Anything can happen. In James 4:1, let's talk about some of this here, asking for the wrong things. Boy, I've done that. Everybody in here has done that at some point in time. James 4:1 puts it this way. This is the theme of love of the world. It's basically, it's this passage, loving things of the world that's not compatible with the God and the love of God. He says, where do you think all these appalling wars, conflicts, you can put it that way, and quarrels come from? Do you think they just happen? Think again. They come about because you want your own way and fight for it deep inside yourself. Now, that first sentence can be translated this way. Why do you fight and argue with each other all the time? You lust, going on verse 2, you lust for what you don't have and are willing to kill to get it. Or basically do anything to get your own way. You want what isn't yours and will risk violence to get your hands on it. You wouldn't think of just asking God for it, would you? And why not? Because you know you'd be asking for what you have no right to. You're spoiled children, each wanting your own way. Listen, that's asking for the wrong things. As I told that last time, you know, you say, God, you just give me $1 million, I'll give, No, God knows me better than that. And he knows you better than that, too. You see, we can think we're asking for the right things, but what we're really asking for is our own way. Do you hear the difference? That have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Not necessarily the way we pray sometimes. Sometimes we pray for things that are wrong, and they can seem right to us. So how do we know the difference? That's where the power of the Holy Spirit comes in. That prayer in proper sequence after repentance, after confessing of sin, he will tell us how we are to pray. And he's faithful to do it. James 4:3, I just got to read that one more time. And why not? Because you know you'd be asking for what you have no right to. You're spoiled children, each wanting your own way. And this is one that can get me every time. If God said yes, it could hurt us in ways we cannot see. And the story of this is about the child. Matthew 7:9, if your child asks for bread, do you trick him with sawdust or stone? If he asks for fish, do you scare him with a live snake on his plate? As bad as you are, you wouldn't think of such a thing. You're at least decent to your own children. So don't you think God, who conceived you in love, will be even better? You see, God has a plan for you, and he's not about to trick you. That is not the way God operates. God has a perfect plan for you. If we'll just slow down, be quiet, and listen, he is faithful to speak to us. God has something far better for us. Romans 8:28, this is Paul writing, that's why we can be, and he's in prison, that's why we can be sure that every detail of our lives, every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. Wow. Do you believe that? God's no isn't punishment, it's preparation. Romans 5:2 says this, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And 3 says, and not only so, but we glory in the tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience. And then 4 says, and patience, experience, and experience, and hope. And it goes on to say, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been provided in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I don't know about y'all, but I don't have a truckload of patience running around. I just don't. I mean, I'm impatient. I'm impatient with other people, and I'm impatient with myself. And yet he says, these are the things I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you patience. And there are many, many times when, quite frankly, I really don't want patience. I just want it to happen. So what is he doing by having me wait? Is he punishing me? No, he wants me to grow in faith. And it's just like exercise. Exercise is not supposed to be easy. It's not. Exercising, you have a stroke, and they take you out, and this lady grabs you, and you got a leg that doesn't work and an arm that doesn't work, and she's pushing you along, and she's about this big, and she's holding me up. And I'm thinking, I can't even make my way down the hall and back. This hurts. I don't want to do this. I don't. But you know what? God basically said to me, you get up and you keep walking. I'm not done with you yet. And I fought, and he healed, And I'm standing here now almost 4 years later, and I don't have a limp, but I exercise about 5 to 6 days a week, and there's not one single time that exercise is easy. It's not supposed to be. And sometimes when God is exercising faith in us to believe Him for something, that takes a little bit of time. It takes some patience that He's trying to grow in you. And you're saying, doesn't seem fair, God. Doesn't seem fair. You did it for her. You didn't do it for me. And God said, I'm doing a work in her that is between me and her, and I'm doing a work in you that's between you and me. And you just follow and do what I say. You wait on me. You go when I say go. And when I say yes, you do it. And when I say no, you know I've got something better, and I'm not mad at you. God's no will bring greater glory to God. This is Paul writing in 2 Corinthians 12:7. Because of the extravagance of those revelations that he had had, and so I couldn't get a big head, I was given, now listen to this, I was given the gift of a handicap to keep me in constant contact with my limitations, that meaning Paul. Verse 7 says, Satan's angel did his best to get me down. What he in fact did was push me to my knees. No danger then of walking around Mr. High and Mighty, which Paul could have certainly done. Humility versus what? Pride. Those are the two things that battle, that I battle anyway. Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't have any problem with pride. But I do. And Paul is saying it was a gift to have the handicap. I am convinced because of my own life that one of the greatest gifts God ever gave me was my stroke. He allowed that to happen because it taught me, it gave me a faith to believe in His love, a faith to believe in His healing, a faith to believe that He had things in control and that He hadn't forgotten me. And I never used to appreciate, if I'd have got up at 4:30, Lida would have looked and said, what is, has rapture occurred and we're on our way out? Because there was no way I used to get up at 4:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning to see a sunset. Sunrise. But you know what? Now I do. And I appreciate a new day more than I ever did before. So I thank God for what He allowed to happen to me. God wasn't mad at me. God wanted to show me and teach me and let me know His faithfulness. Finishes up verse 9. Once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. What's your weakness? No, that's His strength. Then in your weakness, we've read that scripture last week. In your weakness, He shows His strength. If you're walking around Mr. High and Mighty and I got 500 scriptures memorized and I got this thing down pat, I feel sorry for you. I really do. Because you're missing out on what He wants to say to you now in this fresh revelation. Because what? His mercies are new what? Every couple of weeks or so? No, they're new every morning. Which, guess what that means? That means that every day you get up and He's allowed you to live another day, He's got a plan for you. He has somewhere for you to go, and He loves you, and He kept you here for a reason. And that reason is to grow your faith and to believe in Him and then be a disciple of the good news of God, of Jesus. You're not too old to be useful. Don't buy the lie of the enemy that says you can't move around enough, you can't do enough. Do not buy the lie. Believe the truth of God. He is not done with you yet. Amen? He loves you. Proverbs 3:5 then says, okay, if you said amen, here's what he says. Proverbs 3:5, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. You got that? Quit trying to figure out how all this is going to work out yonder. What's he tell us to do? Pray without ceasing. He's told you what to do. You say, what can I do? I've told you some things you can do. God says, pray without ceasing. It also has in there, render unto Caesar, that stuff he's supposed to get. Proverbs 3:6 says this, and this is what we all have the hardest time doing. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. I don't do that. I can't sit up here and say I do that. And I don't think anybody out there can either. But the bottom line is this. He says in Proverbs 3:6, listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. And what does he say he'll do? He's the one that will keep you on track. In my life, I have nothing that I can say that was done in my strength and my ability to get to today, this moment in time. It's all God. Has it been easy? No. You know, has it been all fun? No. Did I see the end from the beginning? There's only one that does that, the one called God, the infinite one. So to stay on track wasn't by my strength either. See, I don't have the strength to do these things that they're talking about. If it was just a matter of reading, okay, that's what it says, do, and then do it. And then walk off into Never Never Land and think it's been done. I've got news for you. It isn't the way it works. Jesus' last words before he ascended, he said, I'm going to send someone back called the Holy Spirit, the Helper. And I will say this to you. If you think for one second that you can do these things that God says for us to do and the way we're to live, whether it be to wait, whether it be to go, when he says yes or when he says no, if you think you can do that strictly on your own spiritual strength and energy and dedication, I've got news for you. You can't. It comes by the power of the Holy Spirit manifested in your life to allow those things to happen which you on your own cannot do. And that's a definition of grace, by the way. You can't earn the grace of the Holy Spirit coming into your life, Bubba, and doing what you cannot do. That's grace that he lets that come into us. Because listen, I don't care how much scripture you know, you don't deserve grace. None of us do. Listen, if God gave us what we deserved, we would not be a pretty thing. But for Jesus' intervention to come to pay for our sin, your sin, my sin, and the grace then to be dispensed back to us in the form of the Holy Spirit, everything I've talked about for the last 4 weeks can't be done. It takes the power of the Spirit to breathe life into you to be obedient. We'll sing that old hymn, trust and obey, for there's no other way. And then we'll walk out of here and try to do it on our own. Or we'll walk out of here and start judging people. Listen, the Bible says something about judging people. And I'm telling you what, Facebook is the greatest demonstration of what not to do that I've ever seen. Because we got people judging left and right. And the Bible says, judge not lest what? You be judged. When God says no, or doesn't seem to answer, it's not because he doesn't love you. It's because he has a plan for you that he wants you to wait in his word. He wants you to go when he says go, and you go to where he says. And when he says yes, do what he says. And realize that no is, as it says, it's not rejection, it's redirection. God loves you. He showed it with his son Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, if you haven't accepted this Jesus as your Savior and Lord, do not walk out of here. Do not leave this place today, because you know what? None of us know when we're going to draw our last breath. And there's a guy who's got it all figured out when the end of the world's coming. My Bible says he's a liar. I'm sorry, just because it says no man knows. So I'd call him a liar to his face. I'd say, show me in Scripture. Show me in Scripture where it says, you've got the power to know this. So if you're believing all that stuff, here's the thing. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. You can guarantee one thing when they tell you when it's going to happen. That's when it's not going to happen. Because God is faithful to what he says. He's faithful to his word. And his word says he loves you. His word says he sent his son Jesus for you. Are you too proud to accept the fact that you need a Savior? Pride will guarantee a destination of hell. You don't want that to be your zip code for eternity. And he doesn't want it for you either. Lord, give us by your grace and by your Spirit the power to surrender. Lord, we know that doesn't mean quit, but Lord, to be able to surrender to you, to be able to recognize our weakness. Father, I pray that no one would leave this room today carrying an offense, carrying it that they have not confessed to you, not confessed to any priest or anybody, preacher, whatever, but has not confessed to you, Father, so that the prayers may go up to you. Because your word says the prayers of a righteous ones are fragrant. They're fragrance that are pleasing to you. So, Lord, would you give us the strength to let go? Would you give us the strength to accept and receive your love? And to recognize, Lord, that our pride keeps us from experiencing your grace. And Lord, we thank you for this day. I pray, Father, you'd protect everyone as they go to Bible study or as they go on home or whatever they're going to do, Lord. Would you be with them? Would you protect them, Father? And we thank you, Lord, for your Spirit in this place. Thank you for the life that you give to us. And thank you, Father, for those that are still here this morning at the sound of my voice. Lord, you still have work for them to do. You still have a call on their life. And no one in this room is too far gone, Father, from your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness. And Lord, we ask you, Abba, Daddy, I ask you in the name that is above every name and above all names, specifically Jesus, the Christ of Nazareth. Amen.